Our reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 12, and I'm reading from the Message version. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you and develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you do not misinterpret yourself as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we can do for him. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way round. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of his body. But as a chopped-off finger or a cut-off toe, we wouldn't be much use, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvellously functioned parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other, or trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with a disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face.
Love from the centre of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. If you're not sure who I am, my name is Eleanor James. I'm the Associate Vicar at Christ the King. I've been on sabbatical, but I'm back now. Rob has asked me to share some things today that I've learnt during my sabbatical. So here goes. I have learnt that supermarket delivery substitutions can be questionable. Honestly, instead of cider, I really was offered a cleaning product. I've learnt how to build a snowman. I've done a couple of jigsaws. I've walked quite a few kilometres. I've even done some sewing. I've learnt how to read Christian books for pleasure. I may even suggest one to you this morning. I've learnt what it's like to watch an online service when you don't know the people, but that it does mean that you can visit virtually anywhere, which makes it so much easier in other ways. I've learned how hard it is to concentrate when watching online church services, especially sermons. I've been reminded afresh, Just what a great bunch of people you are. And just how blessed we are by so many gifted and passionate people. Please hear that. I really mean it. But if I could sum up in 6 words my big learning from this sabbatical, and it's very simple, it's this. We need the body of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship and to learn together. And I ask that you would help us all to give this time fully to you. Help us to focus on you and to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our reading today from Romans 12 was from the Message version. And a reminder that the Message version is not what we might call a study Bible. It's not trying to be close to the original text. Instead, it's more like a paraphrase written in everyday language in a way that might help us to read and engage with the Bible and connect it with our own lives more easily. And sometimes it's good to read a passage in a different version because we can get so used to hearing it in a certain way. And a number of us will be pretty familiar with Romans 12. This passage speaks into a lot of what I felt God was teaching me during my sabbatical. So I'm going to share with you some thoughts from this passage. And what I want to do is I want to focus on 4 things from this passage that are important in that whole area of being part of the body of Christ. Firstly, then, the importance of community. Paul says this. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? Just think about what Paul means there. He's saying that we are all part of one body, that whoever we are, whether we're the ear or the eye or the foot or the toe or the finger or whatever, we are part of something bigger, the body of Christ. It means that we are community, that we are intrinsically linked to one another. It's only when you're not linked, like that cut off toe or finger, that you realise what you're missing. And as Paul says here, we get our meaning from the body as a whole. We get our meaning from being part of the body of Christ. We get our meaning from Jesus. And if we are part of the body of Christ, it also means that when we care for one another, we're not just caring for an individual. We're caring for the body of Christ, which actually means, when you think about it, we are caring for Jesus. I mentioned Christian books that I've been reading, and I've read this book recently, Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. It's got lots of short chapters, so it's really readable. And it's all about Jesus's heart. Here's one thing he says. How do we care for a wounded body part? We nurse it, bandage it, protect it, give it time to heal. For that body part isn't just a close friend, it's part of us. So with Christ and his believers, we are part of him. This is why the risen Christ asks a persecutor of his people, why are you persecuting me? We are part of him. When we hurt, Jesus hurts. When we are persecuted, Jesus is persecuted. When we are cared for, though, Jesus is cared for. It also means that we are Jesus to others, of course, in our mission, in our outreach, in our everyday lives. It means that every aspect of our lives is part of the body of Christ, which may challenge us to think about some areas we need to address. I wonder how you react to all of this. Well, it's nearly a year since many of us met together in worship in the building. And we've seen how hard it can be to be community because we are scattered. And I know from talking to some of you that it feels even harder if you struggle with technology or if you're zoomed out and cannot face yet another meeting online, or if you live a distance away from this parish and you don't see others on your daily walk. It's also difficult when much of what we do as community is on a screen where it really is very easy to observe and not engage. Watching other church services during my sabbatical, I really did find myself checking Facebook or my email or Twitter or making a coffee. And it was so easy to have it on in the background rather than being my full attention. I wonder whether that's you. At this point, everyone puts their phones down. Here's a picture I saw this week. It's a picture of a church made from snow. And a friend of mine commented on this picture and said, well, what will be left when it melts? The answer, the people. We may not be able to meet in the building, but we are still the people of God, the body of Christ. And recognising this has to be an encouragement. And I really want to encourage you today. We are very stretched out at the moment. mostly in 2D as well, but you are part of it. But of course there is a challenge, isn't there? A challenge to fully engage as part of the body of Christ. We'll come back to that. But if we are all part of the body of Christ, then we're also part of one another. We are that linked. We are community. We are part of one another. And as the body of Christ, we are connected. That's my second point. And it feels strange to say that when we can't physically meet, but it is a vital part of being the body of Christ, because we're not individuals with nothing to do with each other. And I've said that before, but the Christian faith is not an individualistic thing. We're in this together because we need each other. And if we're in it together, we need to live and act like it as well. What I realised during my sabbatical is that it is very easy to become disconnected. It's so easy to retreat into our own homes that weeks can go by when we haven't connected. When you're not connected, you feel it. At times I felt it, and especially on a Sunday. Now, I knew it was for a season, but I wonder how many of us feel like that on a regular basis. And there are reasons for that, of course. You've probably all been disconnected from a phone conversation or a Zoom call. It happened to me just this week with those little tiny power cuts that we had. It's so frustrating. But in order to get back connected, we usually have to do something. We can't just wait for it all to happen. We need to dial again or reset our routers or answer the phone once more. Sometimes we need to do the connecting to the body of Christ. Practically, I know that Patrick spoke about this. It might involve joining a roots group or Zoom coffee or the hub or phoning people up. Sometimes we are really struggling though, and we need others to connect to us. But please don't struggle alone. Please let us know. It might be that there are those who come to your mind at this moment for who you need to connect with so that they don't become disconnected. Who could you be in contact with? Who could you laugh with or cry with, as Paul talks about in these verses? Paul in Romans 12 gives some really practical advice in this. He says, love from the centre of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. It's all about love, isn't it? Which, of course, is appropriate on Valentine's Day. Be good friends who love deeply. And I wonder, how are you doing that? It's so easy at the moment to hide behind our front doors to retreat. How might you be a good friend who loves deeply? And of course, my heart jumps when I hear a fiddle mentioned. I've often played second fiddle. There's something special about playing second fiddle because you are bringing the harmony. Without you, it's just a show-off first fiddle. I may have been that too at some points. But the fact is, you make things more interesting. You make a difference. I remember being in an orchestra once when the conductor said to those of us playing second violin that we were basically failed first violinists. He really nearly did have mutiny on his hands. The thing is, second violins don't draw attention to themselves. They make the first violins look good. They bring out the best in others. Isn't that a good thing to be? In fact, throughout this chapter, Paul reminds us of that, that we need to look out for each other, care for each other, serve each other, not to bring attention to ourselves, but to serve. Paul also says, be servants of the Master, alert, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. It's like the Message version understands what we might face in a global pandemic. We certainly have to be inventive in hospitality, don't we? But how might you do that? How might you help someone in need? How could you be inventive in hospitality? It doesn't have to be a home-cooked meal. So how are you connected? Are there things that you could do to help you? How about others? Someone was saying to me the other day that their Sunday morning routine is set around getting up and preparing themselves for the service. They always watch it at 10 a.m. because that means that they are connected to the community, to the body of Christ here at Christ the King. And then they happen to join Zoom coffee. That is their way of connecting. What about you? Thirdly, this passage reminds us of the importance of call. In fact, so much of this passage is about the call to use our gifts within the body of Christ, whatever they might be, but to use them in the right way. Being part of the body means using our gifts in the body. How might you do that in this season? If you're not sure, I would love to chat to you and help you, or you could talk to someone else that you trust. But it's clear from this passage that using our gifts is really important. But I believe the call is also about knowing and caring for who we are. Paul puts it like this. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. I needed to find Jesus afresh, to rediscover my call, and I needed to rediscover who I was in Jesus as part of his body. We all need to keep ourselves fueled and aflame. It's so easy in this season to give up, to quit. Please don't quit. The body of Christ is not the same without you. Paul gives this advice, verse 3. Living then as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. One of the joys of sabbatical was listening to lots of worship songs, especially in my kitchen as I cooked. And the words of this song have spoken to me a lot. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. That is who you are. You are you because of who God is and what he has done for you. It's not about what you do. It's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. I want to encourage you as you think about call to look to Jesus. Rediscover your place in the body of Christ by who he is and who he has made you to be. And therefore, whatever you are called to do, do it with all of who you are as a member of Christ's body built on who he is. Finally, very briefly, we are called to commitment in and to the body. Do read the first couple of verses of Romans 12 again, because they are brilliant for this, to help you think about that. But to sum up, Paul encourages us to commit wholeheartedly to Jesus because he is committed to us. It says he brings the best out of you. I encourage you to spend time each day, if possible, reading the Bible and praying, recognising that at the moment, of course, that might be difficult because of your circumstances. But try, start your day with God. This book, Gentle and Lowly, reminds us that Jesus is totally committed to us. He is committed to you. Here's just one quote. If you are part of Christ's own body, your sins evoke his deepest heart, his compassion and pity. He takes part with you. That is, he is on your side. He sides with you against your sin, not against you because of your sin. How awesome is that? He sides with you, and I want to encourage you to be wholly committed to Jesus, whose body you are part of, because he sides with you and he is committed to you. Of course, it might be that you're watching today and you haven't made that commitment to Jesus. Why not do it today? Why not commit to the one who will be completely committed to you, who sides with you? Finally, part of our commitment to Jesus to look after the body, to look after ourselves and one another, our own well-being. I'm going to be hosting a new course called The Wellbeing Journey, which will be on Zoom and will be available either on an afternoon or an evening from the start of March. More details will follow. But I'm doing it because I believe it is really important that we look after who we are in the body of Christ to help us to commit, which in turn, of course, means looking after the body of Christ. So this week, why not thank God for the community you have in the body of Christ? Ask him to show you how you might be more a part of it. Connect with someone you haven't for a while, or someone you've never connected with. Follow God's call on your life, not someone else's, and commit to Jesus afresh, wholeheartedly and with everything you have, because he is wholeheartedly committed to you. Amen.